All right, brethren, now in Psalm 81, I want to just read this and just make a few comments as we go. It seems like it's the church speaking in the first half, but it could very well be Christ speaking, because he is the prophet who teaches his church as well as our Redeemer who saves us. But let's hear now the first part of this. He says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. That could read the God of sinners. That's who Jacob was and all his children. He doesn't say Israel here, and he's reminding us of our sinful condition by nature. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph. That is, speaking of the same in Israel. He ordained this for testimony, for a witness, when he went out through the land of Egypt. This solemn feast was appointed by God. It was worship in that day. It was the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, at the beginning of each month, they blew the trumpet. But then on the first day of the seventh month, they blew the trumpet on the Sabbath to remember how the Lord brought them out of Egypt, how he brought them out of bondage. It's a type of God giving us faith in Christ through the preaching of the gospel, that gospel trumpet. And then he gave us faith in Christ our Sabbath. It's what we come here for, to be reminded of that redemption we have. Him. Then on the 14th day, they blew the trumpet and Israel observed the Passover. Picture of Christ, our Passover, remembering how God brought them out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. And then the next day after the Passover began that week-long Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. And that was to remind them how God delivered them in Israel through the wilderness and provided for them the whole time. Now that was their worship. That was their ordained worship, to give God all the glory. And in our day, we're blowing this gospel trumpet. We're preaching Christ our Passover. We're preaching Christ who is our tabernacle. We're preaching Christ who brought us out of spiritual bondage, who's providing for us as we travel through this wilderness. And we sing to God our strength. To God our strength. To the God of Jacob, who saves his sinful Jacobs. We give him all the glory for this salvation that he's accomplished. All the glory. And then the psalm changes to the Lord speaking. Now the Lord starts speaking in the middle part of verse 5. I heard a language that I understood not. He's talking about in Egypt. He heard their groaning in bondage. I heard a language I understood not. And I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. And then at the Red Sea, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder, in the cloud. Remember how the cloud came between the children of Israel and Pharaoh? I answered thee. You called on me. They called on him in Egypt. They called on him again at the Red Sea. I answered you. He says, then I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. So we have the Lord here. He says, I heard you in Egypt when you were in bondage, and I answered you. I heard you at the Red Sea. I answered you. And then he proved them at Meribah. Proved thee at the waters of Meribah. That's where the rock was smitten. That rock was Christ. That rock pictured Christ. Remember, they began to murmur. And this is always the proving point. What think ye of Christ? That was where he proved them, right there, the smitten rock. It's called Meribah because they chided, and there was strife and contention. They murmured against the Lord, and they murmured against Moses. Now, what do we learn? We've seen this before, but what do we learn from the rebellious children in Israel? What was this lust of their flesh? Time and again, they judged only by the seeing eye. They didn't have faith. They didn't have faith. And when you don't have faith, everything about your confidence in God is going to be based on what you see or what you don't see. For instance, in Egypt, God sent Moses, and he began to work those plagues in Egypt. And when he did, Pharaoh made their lives more bitter. And they told Moses, just go on and leave us alone. Just let us stay here. Leave us alone. Don't be doing this to us. But then when God brought them out of Egypt, they went out with a high hand. God's for us. God's for us. Then he brought them to the Red Sea. He hemmed them in at the Red Sea. They saw danger on all sides. No way to get out. And they went to murmuring again. God brought us out here just to kill us. But then God brought them through the Red Sea. They sang to God. God's for us. They saw that with his eyes. He brought them to the waters of Marah. They wanted some water to drink. They were thirsty, and they didn't see any water. They didn't call on God. When they didn't see that water, this was their conclusion. God's against us. God, now we know he brought us out here to kill us. God sweetened the waters. Lord's God, he's for us. He brought us to that oasis now. There's 12 wells. We got 12 wells. We just sit back and drink. He's for us now. We know that. God brought them into the wilderness of sin. No bread. They got hungry. God's killing us. God rained down manna from heaven. For a little while, they said, God's for us. Then they come to Rephidim, and they were thirsty again. Seen all that. They've seen all that. But again, they don't see anything to drink. Is he among us or not? That's what they said. That's what they chided. Because they didn't see anything with these eyes. Didn't feel it with these five senses. God said, Moses, you go before them. They can't see this. You take 12 of their leaders and you go forward with them. And you smite the rock and let them come back, tell them. And water came out of the rock. Well, Moses and the other regenerated children amongst them, they had plenty of unbelief. They had sinful flesh too. And they had sin too. But here's the difference. There's a difference in you and the difference in the unregenerate who has not faith. Here's the difference. God speaks in the heart. God bears witness in the heart. And you see by faith. And you're not looking at what he is doing for you or against you outwardly. You see what he's done for you in Christ. And you know he's for you no matter what's going on presently. He's given you faith. That's the difference. He bore witness in their heart. They believed God by faith. They heard God by faith. They walked by faith rather than sight. That's the difference between a child of God's grace and a natural religious man. The Lord strengthened them in faith in the heart, and he saved them from all their enemies, and he made them satisfied with Christ. That's the difference. That's the difference. This is not salvation. This is not even anything but just a stage on which God is working out to show us that he's our salvation. And when he's done with it, he's going to tear the stage up and throw it away and everything in it. And if this is all we have, if this is all we see, if this is our salvation and what we can touch and taste and hear and smell and see and hold on to, if this is all our salvation, when it's gone, our salvation will be gone. Now listen to the next few verses and hear the word of the Lord. God, give us grace to hear this. Hear this with the ears of faith. Listen to him now, verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. When God gives ears to hear, when the Lord testifies, when he bears witness in the heart through faith, he says to you, hear, O my people, I will testify unto thee. I'll bear witness in your heart. And when you hear him by faith and you hearken to him, believing on Christ, this next word is his promise to you through faith in Christ. O Israel, verse 8, if thou will hearken to me, there shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thou mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's his promise to you. Those he gives ears to hear, they have the witness of the Lord in the heart. They have the Spirit speaking in the heart, and the Lord testifies to you. And his promise is this. Read it again. O Israel, if thou will hearken to me, believe on Christ, walk by faith, look to me alone, hear me alone, trust me alone, look to Christ alone, there shall be no strange God in you. Neither shall you worship any strange God. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thou mouth wide, and I'll fill it. But what about those that don't have faith? What about the rebellious children that didn't have faith? In every one of those instances that we're talking about, you know what they were doing? When they didn't see things going their way and they began to murmur, you know what they were doing? They were bowing down to the idol of self and worshiping themselves. Verse 11, but my people, the natural children, would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They wouldn't believe God. They didn't believe God, and they didn't want, he said, they would none of me. You think about Christ, that day at the Feast of Tabernacles. He started out here talking about the solemn day, the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. Think of Christ standing that day at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles in John 7. He's standing there that day. He's God who delivered their fathers from Egyptian bondage. That's who Christ is. He's God who is the Passover lamb. There he was, standing in the midst. He's God who is the tabernacle in whom all his people dwell. He's the smitten rock who by his stripes have healed his people. There he is. And the Pharisees and Jews were observing the very ceremony he talks about in this psalm. The very one. And Christ cried out to them in verse 8. Here's what Christ cried that day. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou will hearken to me, there shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thou mouth wide, and I will fill it. When did Christ cry that? When he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's exactly what he was saying to them. He says in verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would none of me. They wouldn't look to Christ alone. They wouldn't leave off everything else and turn from worshiping that idol self and worship Christ alone and believe on Christ alone and trust him alone to save them. They wouldn't. Why? Same reason children of Israel wouldn't. If it wasn't seen with these eyes and touched with these hands, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't rejoice in it. So Christ did to the Pharisees what he did to the rebellious in the wilderness. Verse 12. So I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Listen to what Christ would have done had they believed on him and walked by faith and love. This is what he would have done. Verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened to me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. But their time those that would believe on him, their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rocks that I have satisfied thee. Christ said that too. In Matthew 23:37, he stood there looking out over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." He said, "I've done all these things for you, but you wouldn't simply believe on me alone." You know what Jonah said when he tried to run from God? Why didn't the Lord just throw him off and leave him? He rebelled just like they did. It's called the grace of God. He just won't let some people go. We deserve it, but he won't let us go. And what did he bring Jonah to say? "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah found that out. He can teach that to each of us. Now let me give you three things for us to remember. It's in this psalm. One, let us remember that it is God in Christ that we worship. When we come together here and we come to hear the gospel preached, we come to hear his name glorified. We come to hear this one who delivered his people and who gets all the glory. He says there in verse 1, "Sing aloud unto God our strength." He's God our strength. "Make a joyful noise unto the God of us sinners," the God of Jacob, his covenant people. And as we blow this trumpet, Christ speaks in his gospel, and he reminds us. When this gospel's going forth, I think that's why you see here, it sounds like the church speaking at first, and then in the middle of it, it switches over to the Lord speaking and declaring what he's done. Because when this gospel's going forth, as it's going forth, Christ begins to speak into our hearts and remind us what he's done for us. And this is what he reminds us, verse 6, "I removed your shoulder from the burden." This is why we worship him. "I removed your shoulder from the burden. I delivered your hands from the flesh pots." He's the smitten rock. He bore our stripes at Calvary, brethren. He delivered us from all our sin and made us the righteousness of God in him. And then he came and he delivered us from the bondage of sin and self by quickening us and giving us his spirit. And he keeps delivering us all through this wilderness. This is why we come. That's why he gave that ordinance and that statute for them to worship him, to remember what he did for them. And we come here to hear this gospel to be constantly reminded over and over and over, he's the God of our strength. He's the one that delivered us from the burden. And he reminds us of this in verse 7. "You called me in trouble." When you were in trouble, you called me. And you call us in trouble. You don't stop calling me in trouble. "And I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret places of thunder." He comes in the secret places, in the heart, between you and him, and he answers you through the word that he preaches in our heart. And so that's the first thing. We worship none but our Redeemer. We're going to sing songs that glorify him. We're going to open our mouth wide to him and pray unto him. We're going to glorify him in the gospel, and because he's the one we have to hear. We have to be reminded, continue what he's done for us. And then secondly, remember, it's God who brings us to every trial to prove us. That's the purpose of it. He says, "I proved them at Meribah." Now you think about that. I proved them at Meribah. And I've said this before, we've seen this before. Every one of those places he brought them to, the Lord brought them there. He brought them there on purpose. You know, in school, the teacher spends days teaching us. He said, "There, I ordained this worship to remind you I'm the one that delivered you. That's what you're hearing. That's what you're seeing in this Passover lamb. That's what you're hearing your fathers remind you of when they tell you what this is all about. That's what we're hearing in this gospel." The teacher teaches us for a while. And then they give a test to see if we learned what we've been taught. That's what the trial is. When God brings us to the trial, it's proving time. It's just like Rephidim was for Israel. Christ is always the proving point. He's always the point of contention. What think ye of Christ? He is the one by whom the rebellious and the believer are going to be separated. It's always going to be Christ. At the heart of it, it's always Christ. To you who believe the gospel, he's life. You got to have him. You got to have his word. The spirit of life flows into you. Christ is your rock. But the rebellious only see with carnal eyes. A natural man cannot, he will not hear the Lord. He's going to chide against God. He's going to chide against his people. He's going to accuse God of not doing what's right. May not do it out loud, but he's going to do it in his heart. The devil's desire, brethren, listen to me. In every trial and every situation, the devil has one desire. His desire and his motive is to turn you from looking only to Christ. That's his desire. To turn us from hearing only Christ to something else. He don't care what it is. Just don't look only to Christ. Don't trust Christ alone. He'll come and whisper in your ear. But it won't be, look to Christ. It'll be something else. The only way that we do not fail is because God makes us hear Christ speak. I'm telling you, brethren, this is the crucible. The only way that you're going to survive and I'm going to survive and we're going to be saved is if we hear Christ and look to Christ only. That's the only way. Verse 8, this is what he did for Moses. Moses at first, he would be overcome. He'd speak things that weren't honorable, but here's what the Lord does for his child. He's going to speak into our heart. Verse 8, "Hear, O my people, I'll testify unto you. I'm going to bear witness in you, O Israel. If you hearken unto me, there will be no strange God in you. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the bondage. Open your mouth wide. I will fill it." Oh, God, help us hear Christ speak this. I mean, hear Christ telling you that, believer. Hear him saying to you, if you trust me, if you hearken to me, if you believe me, there won't be a strange God with you. You can't look to me and believe on me and trust the arm of the flesh too. Moses at times trusted the arm of the flesh, but you know what God did? Turned him back. Hearken unto me. And he heard him, and he listened to him, because his grace is irresistible. He makes you hearken to him. And you can't worship another God. You can't worship this idol of self when you look into Christ and know. And he's filling your heart with his spirit, and he's making you know, I am your salvation. I've got this all under control. I got you in the palm of my hand, and I'm carrying you all the way to glory. You can't worship anything else or look to anything else or be distracted by anything else when that's going on. Moses was certain. He knew for certain when he was in that wilderness. God's the God of salvation. It didn't matter what the millions of people were saying. Brethren, hear only Christ. Look only to Christ. Immerse yourself in the gospel of Christ. The harder the trial gets, laser focus more in on Christ. In his word. Immerse yourself in some good messages that point you straight to Christ. Here's what he says to you and me. We want to obey him. Here's what he says to us. There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. In every trial, he's going to remind us Christ alone is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our righteousness. He provided salvation by his precious blood, and he'll provide everything else. He will not lose one of his people. We're saved by his power and his ability alone. He will keep you looking to him. And whatever you need, here's what he says to you. Whatever you need, he says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's his promise to you. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Go to him and open your mouth and pour out everything you need. And he says, I will fill it. You picture the little birds in the nest, and the robin comes in there, and she's got a big old fat juicy worm, and every one of them mouths just, I mean, as wide as they can get it. That's what he's saying. Why are you here now? Why are you here right now? Lord has given you a heart to where you have a hunger and a thirst to hear Christ exalted and know he is all your salvation. You have a hunger and thirst for him. He didn't give you that hunger and thirst and then going to let you starve. He's going to feed you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Call for him. Open your mouth wide and call for him. He'll make his presence known in the heart of his people. He gives us desperate times to keep his child crying to him and to keep us knowing he alone is our bread. Remember, that's why he gave them the trouble in the wilderness. He said in Deuteronomy 8:3, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which you didn't know what it was, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. That's the life. When he creates sorrow in our heart and the times are so desperate that you can't eat physical food, that's a real fast. He says, clean your face up. Don't go around letting everybody see you down and out. But he does this. He says, I'm going to feed you with manna from heaven, and your soul's going to live. And that's the bread that matters. That's the bread that matters. God's trials are God's mercies to his children. That's what they are. God's trials are his mercies to us, brethren. It's his chastening love. He only scourges those he loves. Let's do this. If a brother goes through some awful, terrible thing, just know, God only scourges those he loves. If he's going to be brought to behold Christ in you, and you're going to be brought to behold, that's how God's going to do it. He'll burn up everything by fire if he has to. But he's going to keep you looking to him. Opportunities, that's what trials are. They're opportunities that he gives to drive you to his throne of grace, to open your mouth wide, to find out that he'll fill it just like he said he would. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. That's what he's showing us. And that's what he's going to do for us. Now look here at the last thing. This is the last thing. He'll deliver us from all our enemies and make us endure walking by faith in him. That's what he's going to do. Verse 14. He said, you hearken to me. I shall soon subdue your enemies and turn my hand against your adversaries. The haters of the Lord shall submit themselves to the Lord's hand, but your time shall endure forever. What's he going to do by bringing us to the end of ourselves? He's keeping us trusting him alone. He's saving us from that enemy, number one, that one that is in us, that is a hater of God, that would worship nothing but the idol called S-E-L-F if he didn't keep him subdued. And every other enemy that would try to separate you from Christ, your sin, your self-righteousness, hardship in life, whatever it is, he's going to separate you from it. And keep you looking to Christ only. If you hear him and you walk by faith looking to Christ alone, you'll not have that strange God. He's going to see to it we don't worship that idol. What else is he going to do? Verse 16, he shall feed you also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock shall I satisfy thee. Christ is the finest wheat. You can't get finer wheat than Christ. He's the bread from heaven. He is the rock that gives us honey out of the rock. They say that land of Canaan was just full of rocks, the mountains that full of bees, and you could go up and just go into where those crevices are, and you see bees coming out of there, and they'd just be full of honey, just dripping out of those rocks in those mountains. You know, that's what when they sent spies into Canaan, that's what they come back complaining about. All they saw was the bees and the stingers. That's all this world sees when they look at Christ. They don't see anything good. But you know what you're going to find in Christ the rock? He's going to give you honey, sweet to the taste. The full soul loathes the honeycomb. Man that thinks he's full and has need of nothing, he doesn't need Christ. But you that he keeps empty, he's going to feed you with the finest wheat and the honey out of the rock, Christ Jesus. And not only feed you the best, he's going to make you satisfied. You'll be satisfied. He says to you who believe, Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 1, he says, I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Now he says to you, eat, O friends. Drink, yea, drink abundantly, oh beloved. Just drink and eat. He says, I shall satisfy thee. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Are we going to hearken to Christ? Will we hearken to him? Well, we see in the rebellious children of Israel, we will not if he leaves us to ourselves. Absolutely, we will not. We see in the Pharisees and the scribes, the finest men that walked the face of the earth in that day. They had everything about their religion in order. They were missing one thing, Christ. But if we're his, he will work in the heart of his people, and he will save us from us and from anything else that separates us from him. He will. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's what he said. David did. You know what David said? In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and you strengthened me with strength in my soul. There's where it matters. That's where this food is, in the soul. Where nobody can see it, it's between you and God, and he's going to feed you in your soul. And one day when you lay off this old idolater, that man's going to be healthy and well and completely whole and go be with the Lord forever. He's our salvation. I pray, hear him alone. Hearken to him alone. Look to him alone. If that's wrong, and that's leading you astray to tell you to look to Christ only. I don't know what's right then. He's the only one who saves. He's the only one who saves. Amen.